Highways and bridges and transit all get money under the big transportation bill passed by the Oregon legislature last week. The bill totals more than $5 billion to spend across most of a decade, and it includes some new taxes and fees, but it also provides some incentives, some chances to save money when buying hybrid and full electric vehicles. Rebates will be available starting this fall, which is welcome news to the organization promoting electric vehicle use in Oregon, now called FORTH. Jeff Allen is the executive director and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange once again. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, Jeffrey. It's great to be with you again.
Good to have you. The last time we talked, your organization was still called Drive Oregon. Why the change?
Yeah, that's correct. It's just changed a few months ago. And a couple of reasons. One is that we've always been about more than just driving. We do a lot of work to promote electric assist bikes, electric cargo equipment, and increasingly work around shared and connected and self-driving vehicles as well. So sometimes it's about riding or it's about moving freight around. So the drive part was problematic. And then our geographic footprint has expanded as well. So we're doing quite a bit of work up in Washington and some demonstration projects in other places. So the Oregon part of the name wasn't really working for us anymore either. And then finally, we're now doing a lot of work like this where we're talking to drivers and consumers about their electric vehicle options. And we wanted a name that was a little more consumer-friendly, and our smart marketing people told us that Drive Oregon sounded a little bit too much like a government agency.
Ah.
So we've been forced for a couple of months now. I'm pretty happy with it so far.
So geographically, you mentioned the change, and it was always bigger than Drive. I mean, has the mission changed at all with the name as well?
Not fundamentally. I mean, fundamentally, the mission is still about expanding the electric and advanced mobility industry and making people more aware of the options and making sure that the benefits of that technology are reaching a broader and broader cross-section of people. It's just on a little bit bigger geographic platform, a little bit expanded scope of what we're trying to do.
All right. So in this bill, then, $12 million a year, it looks like, is not chicken feed, but is it as much as you'd hoped for electric vehicles?
It's a good solid start, and it would be a wonderful problem to have if this is so popular that we're running out of money. So we are fully prepared to go back and argue for more money if that's the case, but I think it'll get us started and should meet the demand at least for the next few years, I hope.
So how is the money targeted then? Where is it going to go?
Yeah, so there's rebates of up to $2,500 for electric vehicles, particularly full battery electric vehicles or plug-in hybrid vehicles that have at least a 10 kilowatt hour battery pack. We can talk about what that means. And then up to $1,500 for plug-in hybrids, vehicles that have a plug that'll go a certain distance on electricity, say 10 or 20 miles, and then switch over to gas. And over time, over the next couple of years, there's also potential incentives for electric motorcycles and neighborhood electric vehicles. And then there's also a set-aside of at least 10% of the funding for additional rebates that target specifically low- and moderate-income drivers who are willing to scrap a vehicle that's at least 20 years old. And they can get an additional rebate of up to $2,500 that can be added to that that primary rebate. So for some drivers, it could be as much as $5,000.
Okay, combining the two rebate categories.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. That charge ahead program for the lower income people reminds me of the Cash for Clunkers program, at least in intent.
Yes, we're hoping we've learned a lot of lessons since then. There was a number of issues with that program, but the fundamental intent of that is exactly right, that those 20, 30-year-old vehicles that are on the roads are some of the heaviest polluting vehicles and the most expensive to operate. You know, for low-income folks, you might buy a car for $500 or $1,000 off the internet, but then spend $500 a month putting gas in it and trying to keep it running. Whereas you can get an electric vehicle for $150 or $200 a month and pay nothing for maintenance and almost nothing for fuel. So if we can help people make that transition, they're going to be much better off economically, as well as, you know, having a huge impact on air pollution and climate change.
When you say nothing for maintenance, I mean, are electric vehicles really that much easier to care for than gas engine jobs?
They are. We now have, that's always been the argument, and we now have a few years of data to back it up. They have far fewer moving parts. You know, there's no oil changes. There's no, you know, the belts and transmissions and things in conventional cars. So there's various numbers kicking around about how much lower the maintenance is based on models. But, you know, you talk to most electric vehicle owners, they'll tell you the only maintenance they've done is tires and windshield wipers and, you know, occasional wiper fluid.
Wow. That sounds pretty simple.
Yep.
Oh, that's right. No coolant. Yeah, a cracked radiator like I had last week, never an issue.
Exactly. No coolant. You know, you'll hear stories. You know, one of my favorite stories is the dealer who sold somebody an electric car and tried to get them to buy a lifetime oil change package.
Is that a true story?
It is a true story. It's apocryphal, you know, it's anecdotal, but no, there's no oil to change. There's no coolant. It's just a much simpler machine. You know, it's like your desktop computer at home. If you think about it, it doesn't require a whole lot of maintenance either most of the time.
That is true. Jeff Allen's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the executive director of Forth, which pushes for expanding electric and advanced mobility vehicles around all sorts of applications. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the provisions in the Oregon Transportation Bill for electric cars, primarily rebates coming this fall. We'll talk about specific dates in a moment. You can join us, though, at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Have you been waiting for another incentive to come along to buy an electric car? Have you been sitting on the fence waiting for something like a rebate? We'd like to hear from you. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Now, I noticed that among the fees and charges that come along with this transportation bill, including things like a payroll tax, they never did get tolls in this one. Is that right?
There are provisions to better support folks in the Portland metro area who are looking at tolls and congestion pricing. Mm-hmm. It's a weaker than some of the earlier language, but it's forward motion on that.
Okay, but there is a surcharge on new cars, and I wonder how that works in and around the rebates now that we're talking about for electric cars.
Yeah, you know, there's certainly things in the bill that that we are less enthusiastic about, and the funding mechanism for these rebates is this tax on new car sales that starts at least at 0.5%, and 12 million of that will go into the rebates. And, you know, the automakers and auto dealers are members of Forth, are not very enthusiastic about that. It is sort of taking money out of one of their pockets and putting it into the other one, right? So they'll have to pay a tax of 0.5% on every new car they sell, and then some of that will go to rebates that make the electric new cars they sell a little more affordable. But I think the general sense was if that tax was going to happen anyway, at least some of it will come back to the dealers and help them sell these vehicles that they're required by state law to sell.
But it's possible then if you go to buy a new electric car, you could get the rebate but also pay the additional fee on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you buy a $30,000, you know, new car, you're going to pay the, I'm just doing the math here, what is it, $150 tax mm-hmm. that was just enacted, but then you'd get $2,500 back. And if you buy a $30,000 gas car, you'd still pay the tax, but you wouldn't get the rebate back.
Now, there is a cap on the value of the electric cars. Is that right? So we've kind of ruled out the high-end Teslas and things like that?
Yeah, exactly. And that was it's $50,000 base MSRP. And that was a compromise from people who were concerned that they didn't want to see these rebates going to, you know, extremely high-end luxury vehicles. But on the other hand, you want to make sure that people who are buying a new car of any kind are incentivized to buy one that's clean and electric if possible. So that was the compromise we landed on. And, you know, the average value or average price of a new car bought in the U.S. is somewhere around $40,000. So we're really talking about practical everyday vehicles here, not the more exotic ones that people may have heard about.
Now, Jeff, you did mention briefly kilowatts. There's a split on battery capacity in the rebates. How does that work, and what's it meant to encourage?
Yeah, and by the time this launches, there will be some very clear direction online, so people do not need to become electrical engineers to understand
that'd
it.
Be good.
But basically, the idea is to incentivize vehicles that have more all-electric clean range, and that will really do the bulk of their driving on electricity. And so vehicles that have It's based on the size of the battery pack, which is roughly related to the amount of all electric range. So practically what that means right now is that, for example, the Chevy Volt, which will go 50 miles on electricity and then shift over to gasoline, that qualifies for the full rebate. But some other vehicles like the Prius Prime or the Ford C-Max Energy that might only go 20 or so miles on electricity before they shift into gasoline, those will only get the smaller $1,500 rebate.
Okay, so a two-tier set of rebates. The rebates do start in October, I notice. Is there enough time to get set up? It seems like a pretty short schedule.
It is going to be short schedule. You know, what we're trying to balance there is, on the one hand, you don't want to have a big gap where people are not buying cars because they're waiting for the rebate to come along, but we do need to get the system stood up. The way the bill is written encourages DEQ to contract with a third-party nonprofit to manage the program, which is the way that they're run in several other states, New York and California and other places. And there is at least one organization that runs those rebate programs that can stand up a website and an application process pretty darn quickly. The way the bill is written as well, cars are eligible for the rebate starting 90 days after the bill is signed, so that should be middle of October, but then they have 6 months to apply for the rebate. So we may be in a situation where people can get the rebate starting in October, but they may not have the application process ready to go until a couple months later.
All right, so they'll be eligible, but they'll have to wait a little while for their check or their credit or whatever it is.
Yeah, I hope not, but that's possible.
Okay, we're talking to Jeff Allen, the executive director of Forth, which is all about increasing the use of electric vehicles and advanced mobility in Oregon and Washington, about the electric car provisions in the transportation bill. 800-838-3760 if you want to join by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from David in Ashland. Welcome to The Exchange.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm curious to see that in the transportation package, the state subsidy for rooftop solar installation was allowed to sunset. And I know several people that have followed their rooftop solar installation with an electric car purchase. Could you comment on the seemingly counterintuitive decision to allow that provision to sunset?
Huh, interesting question. Yeah. Thanks for that, David. Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it was actually a different piece of legislation where folks were trying to get the rooftop solar incentive renewed, and we were not in the middle of that one. But I know that there was a hard fight to get that renewed, and there's a number of issues there that caused it to not get renewed at the end of session, which is unfortunate. I think there will be a push to come back and try and recreate that in the 2018 session. So I would never want to try and second guess what legislators were thinking in the scrum there at the end of session. I am cautiously optimistic that they will find a way to bring back a rooftop solar incentive. You know, I think that.
But that is an interesting point that David brings up, the idea that you're on one hand encouraging people to use more electricity, on the other hand not encouraging them to create more.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things I would say about that. I mean, one is that however you fuel your electric car, and I get this question a lot, especially in Oregon, because that's the way we are about, you know, concerned about, well, is it really a green vehicle or a good environmental choice if you're just getting your electricity off the grid? And it absolutely is. Running your electric car on the grid average electricity in Oregon is roughly equivalent to driving a 73-mile-per-gallon car, if you could find such a thing, which, of course, you can't, from a lifetime carbon perspective. And obviously, it has no air pollution whatsoever. So it is a huge environmental win, unless you have a diesel generator in your backyard that you're using to power up your car. And if you're in a place like Ashland, where a lot of your electricity is coming from Bonneville and from hydro and other renewable sources, it's obviously even better. And it, you know, if you can put solar on your roof and power your car that way, that's obviously even better still. So we do see a lot of overlap between folks who are interested in rooftop solar and energy efficiency and are interested in electric vehicles. And it's a great combination also because while somebody's working on your roof putting on the solar panels, that's an ideal time to make sure that you've got enough electrical capacity on your panel for a charger and to install the charger and to do all that work while you have the electrician there.
Ah, good point.
So it's definitely unfortunate that that didn't get renewed, and I'm hopeful that they will bring that back.
Now, in this transportation bill, the rebates for cars and trucks in October and more rebates at a later date. What's the date and what are the vehicles?
Yeah, so starting January 1st of 2019, there will be eligibility for rebates for electric motorcycles and neighborhood electric vehicles. These are sort of the low speed. I know there's still a few of these little Zap vehicles running around in Ashland.
Mm-hmm.
Seen them down there. maybe we'll get a call from someone who still has one. But those kinds of vehicles will also be eligible for more modest rebates starting in 2019.
All right. Before we go, I want to ask about self-driving cars because it seems to be part of the suite of things that you advocate for at Forth. And how are you supporting that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, a lot of the work that we're doing, there's a lot of policy work to be done, obviously, around how do you manage that and how do you make sure, I would say a lot of the work we do is around how do we make sure that those technologies are a force for good, to put it simply. disruptive technologies are just that, they're disruptive, and sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. And then, you know, also doing demonstration projects, again, to show how they can benefit folks.
All right. Much coming up in the transportation bill, including the presence of potentially more electric cars in the streets of Oregon with rebates starting in October. And you heard more rebates in January of 2019 for electric motorcycles and neighborhood vehicles as well. So a bunch of details in there that will unfurl as the weeks and months go by. Jeff Allen's the executive director of Forth, which advocates for the expansion of electric and advanced mobility vehicles around Oregon and Washington. Jeff, good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.